Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel for this weekend, Jesus essentially criticizes the religious establishment for using religion as a weapon against people. It reminds me of a Latin phrase, corruptio optimi essimo, which means corruption of the best is the worst. Now, we see this in religion. The very thing that is meant to unite us with God, religion, sometimes can be hijacked by people with the worst instincts and the worst tendencies. And in doing so, they take religion and they turn it on itself, doing something that it shouldn't do. Now, if you look at Paul's epistles, many of his letters, he speaks about this, how the law is good in of itself, and yet some people use it as a weapon. Now, he gives us some reasons why. He tells us, you know, for some people, it puffs up their ego, or others, they feel superior, morally and spiritually superior over others. I'll give you a great example of what I'm getting at. I can go up to a person, and I can say to that person, you know, I've got a master's in theology. I know Catholic doctrine and dogma. And I know liturgy. And I know scripture, as well as church history. And I know you're not living a good moral life. And I know that you don't really know your faith very well. Well, essentially, I'm declaring moral superiority over this person. I'm using religion as a weapon to tell them that they're, you know, spiritually and morally inferior to me. Now, Jesus, if you look at all four of the Gospels, he's constantly criticizing the religious establishment for doing this. You know, you look at today's Gospel, but also look at, for example, Matthew 24:3. Jesus tells the Pharisees, you know, you tie up heavy burdens upon people with not willing to lift a finger to help them. And so the very gift that God gives us, religion, to help us connect with God and grow stronger in our love for God and help us unite ourselves with one another, is now used as a weapon for people for their own purposes. You know, a good analogy would be that satire from Saturday Night Live. The church lady, you know, the church lady, she always knew scripture like the back of her hand. And yet, how did she use that? To attack people. To attack people in our country or events that are going on in our country. And so it made fun of that. The whole point of religion is meant to draw us together and draw us to God, so that we can be reconciled to God. You know, if you look at the word religion, it comes from two Latin words, rele and jure, which literally means to tie back to. The implication is we are all fallen away because of our sin. And that's the effects of sin. But religion basically helps us to tie ourselves back to God so that we can be reconciled to the Father and always be in a right relationship with God. And yet, how often the very beliefs and practices that are supposed to foster a connection between ourselves essentially ends up fostering division. And see, that's exactly what Jesus is criticizing. You know, here you have the religious establishment who should be essentially helping us connect with God, where they're doing just the opposite. And that's essentially what Jesus is not only criticizing, but makes him so upset. Now, let's go into the gospel in this parable. Now, in this parable, Jesus is teaching us once again about the importance of prayer. He's been teaching us this for the past 3 weeks. Remember last week? It's the parable of the dishonest judge with the widow who was persistent. And Jesus teaches us persistence in prayer. When we pray, never give up. Always be very persistent. And so in this case, Jesus, now he's teaching us the importance of the motivation of our prayer. Why do we pray? Now, you look at these two people in the parable. You know, they are diametrically opposed to each other. And so is their motivation to pray. Now, the gospel begins by saying, Jesus addressed this parable to those who are convinced of their own righteousness. Well, he's addressing it to the Pharisees, the religious establishment. They're all hypocrites. They all have this holier-than-thou attitude. They're self-centered. And they've declared themselves spiritually and morally superior to everybody. Now, it says, the Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. Now, remember, Pharisees were scholars of the law. In our day and age, we would refer to them as theologians. Now, he's standing, which is a common practice or a common posture in the ancient world to pray. But notice where he's standing. Right in the middle of the synagogue, so everyone can see him and everyone can hear him. He's calling attention to himself. So now we see the arrogance and the ego of this man on display. Now, notice also, too, his prayer. It says he spoke this prayer to himself. Now, I don't know about you, but every time when I pray to God. I speak to God. This man isn't doing that. He's speaking to himself. You know, it reminds me of Proverbs 29:23. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Well, that's not exactly what's going on right now. Now, notice how his prayer begins. He thanks God, but then it takes a nosedive. He says, I thank God that I'm not rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, scummy. No, his prayer is now filled with pride. Next, he goes on to this litany of the good things that he does. He fasts, he tithes. What is he really doing? Well, we would say he's singing his own praises. Now, yes, we give him some credit. He's done good things. But he's done them all for the wrong reason and the wrong attitude. He's basically doing these good things to separate himself from others that are not doing those things. Again, to be morally superior to those people. Now, why do we do good things? Why do we live a good life? Why do we live the virtuous life? For the one purpose. We're motivated because of our love for God. That's the reason why we live the virtuous life. More to it, we want to grow in that love for God and God's love for us. And in doing so, then we grow into that image and likeness that we are all created in. That's why we live the virtuous life. And so when you look at this man's prayer is not to God. Instead, you could say it's a self-loving prayer. Now, let's turn to the tax collector. It says he stood off at a distance. Well, that's the first act of humility. He's not standing in the center of the synagogue. No, he's probably standing in the corner where no one can see him and no one can listen to him. He doesn't feel worthy to be close to God. Notice also, too, his eyes are lowered. His head is bowed down. That's the second sign of humility. You know, he doesn't feel worthy enough, you know, to even look at God in his prayer. He beats his breast as a sign of repentance and then finally begs God for mercy. Now, make no mistake, you know, this is not a good man. He is a collaborator. Essentially, he collects a Roman tax. Half of that tax goes to Rome as tribute to Caesar. The other half stays in Israel and pays the soldiers, the Roman soldiers that are occupying Israel. Worse yet, his salary is determined by skimming off the top of the taxes that he collects. So this is not a good person. Now, the key here, he knows he's a bad person, that he's done bad things. And yet, here's the importance of religion. Religion now he uses to try and tie himself back to God. He's seeking to unite himself to God. And that's why he begs for mercy. Now notice at the very end, Jesus says, the latter went home justified. Well, essentially the tax collector went home, reconciled back to God. God showed him mercy. But for the Pharisee, no, he was not reconciled back to God. And so Jesus gives us a model of prayer, how we should approach God first. Approach God through Proverbs 29:23. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. And then, motivated by love and only love for God, essentially we now pray to God. We pray that we, through God's grace and all of his blessings, may truly grow into that image and likeness we were created in. And so we beg for God's mercy and God's love. And God will give it to us because God's generosity is limitless. So God wants to give us all of his love and all of his mercy, in addition to all of his blessings and his grace, and we will receive it, just like the tax collector did. And so this is a great model for us when we go to God every time we pray. And so may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.